As you can hear with the birds chirping in the background, spring is here. The warm weather continues. Or maybe not if in the UK and you've just had some bad weather, the rain. Just like Roma's performance yesterday. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. Happy Easter. Happy holidays. I hope you, like me, may have overindulged on some Polish babka, some Easter eggs. I'm one of four down. I've got to pick up one from work when I go in on Thursday. So I've got two more at home and one to pick up soon. I think I might have some more later. With me today is Joey. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How was your holidays? How was Easter?
As we were talking off pod, the clocks went forward here in the UK and across Europe. And I'm not going to lie, I'm fucked. I'm cooked. My body clock is all over the place. So we lost an hour. You guys stateside and across the border. You've had it for about 3 weeks now, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. So I had that same feeling a few 3 weeks ago when we had it. And I mean, even for football times, it would affect because most of the time games were like early afternoon, whether it be Europe football or the league, and it was just everything was just later for us. So yeah, we've been on this for a few weeks now, but now we're used to it. Obviously, the first couple of days, you know, that hour will make a difference, but yeah, we've been on it for a while.
I feel jet lagged. It feels like I've been on like a 6 or 7 hour flight from New York or Philly. I don't know why I mentioned Philly. Oh yeah, WrestleMania's there this weekend. So like, the worst jet lag I've ever had is from San Francisco. That was like an 11-hour flight. So it feels like I'm jet lagged. But like, no. Apart from that, it's all good. Food. I've indulged on so much chocolate and so much Polish babka cake. It's unbelievable. I watched quite a lot of football over the weekend because over here Easter is a nice holiday football. You get two rounds of EFL action. Went to one game. It was good. I sent you the goals that Swindon scored against Notts County. It was a laugh because we were gifted two goals and then we put on an absolute horror show yesterday. And then I got to watch Roma almost, I don't know how to describe it, struggled against a high intense team who are fighting for survival and gave away a lot of shots, but if Lecce could finish, it could end at like 5-5 or something like that, or we could have absolutely walloped 5-0. But no, but apart from that, it's all good. I enjoyed some Serie A. I watched two games Saturday and the two games yesterday, so I watched the two lunchtime games and the two 5 o'clock games. I enjoyed a certain last minute header against Juventus. I even know it is for Lazio, but I do think Juventus are in free fall and they could be caught by either Bologna or Roma or both. But I'll ask about that later. Should we talk about the game yesterday?
Yeah, definitely get into it. I think it was a pretty bad performance by Roma. Especially that first half, De Rossi, if there's one thing I've noticed, he started to develop more so now than at the beginning. He looked very sluggish the first half, and I'm not quite sure why. I'm not pinning it on De Rossi, but the team doesn't seem well prepared to start games. I would say in a lot more of them now than when he first started. Obviously, there's some outliers like Brighton. He had a wonderful first half, fantastic second half. Like there are some outliers, but just lately with Fiorentina, Sassuolo, and now we're coming up to Lecce's game. We had a very sluggish first half. Not much went on. I mean, if they could finish, or if Patricio was in Nets and not VR, we could have been looking at that walloping of 5-0, like you mentioned. Yeah, he was the only one I can really give praise to. Everybody else didn't really play well and kind of struggled. And second half, it was a little better. couple opportunities. Too bad Awar didn't make most of that one chance he had.
Good save. Good save from Falcone.
Falcone, yeah, the Romanista. Very good save by him. Good play by action by Roma. I don't know how, and Scott, you had an article about him too. It's funny, on Breaking the Lines, which everyone should go read, by the way.
Thank you.
Who missed that. Yeah, who missed that opportunity that of a lifetime to put them ahead, and I don't know how he missed that. It was crazy how they had so many chances, but Roma were really trying to push forward, and they just kept getting caught out. I'm sure we'll get to the penalty episode, which I thought was a penalty. I mean, that could have bailed Roma out, but it's not the reason they drew the game. They didn't play very well.
No.
I'll be honest, I didn't like some, like, this is a blame on everybody, including De Rossi. I didn't like some of his choices. I know he was forced to make a Pellegrini change and Dybala change, but not playing Awar and playing Bove ended up being a mistake. Not playing El Shaarawy and playing Zaleski from the start ended up probably being a mistake. So there were a couple of questionable choices by him, sluggish first half. Even second half, we did, like I said, a little better, but nothing that I can say was worthwhile. And I kind of think we're lucky to get out of there with a draw, even though we didn't have that penalty that should have been called. And well, Scott, you know, from when we started from the beginning, this is not the reason. If we don't make Champions League, you'll always be 29 points in 20 games at the beginning. That will always be at fault for why we don't make it. But if you wanted to make it on this miraculous one, it was a game you have to win. Now you're treading on a fine line. And if, Lazio coming up, you have to win the derby. Because you didn't win this game, well, now you got to win the game in the derby, which is coming up on Saturday. I just wish there was more urgency from Roma, and there was just, I don't know, more heart into it. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but it just didn't feel they were up for it. And when I saw glimpses, I didn't watch a full game, of Bologna, and the way they went, they played with like their heart on their sleeve, and the way they were just playing, it's like, I wish Roma had that same sort of feeling that game, and it just wasn't there. And yeah, it dampens their hope on Champions League. They're still in fifth, but I mean, Atalanta do have a game in hand with two points behind. The thing is, it's not in Roma's hands anymore. They absolutely need teams, no matter who they are, Juventus, Atalanta, or Bologna, they need to draw points. And I don't like that Roma can't control their own destiny. Plus, they have a hard schedule, but I know De Rossi is a fighter, and I'm hoping he gets things turned around for Saturday for the derby.
It is what it is. I was going to mention that Atalanta do play Cagliari next Sunday. And I'm really hoping we do get to see the acronym of CAG ATA in the top left-hand corner.
Oh, yes.
The infamous CAG ATA.
CAG ATA,
Which they haven't done the last...
Easy fixture spot,
no,
by the way.
It won't be. Because Cagliari drew 1-1 with Hellas. They were 1-0 down and got back to 1-0. That's going to be a big, a tough game. I watched Atalanta destroy Napoli. And I mean destroy them.
Yeah. They're out of it to me, Scott.
Yeah,
Napoli are out of it.
And I watched Bologna yesterday. Bologna are in this freakish sort of form where they've won, is it 7 out of 8 or 6 out of 7, where they just play this attacking brand of football, and they're really joyful to watch. Like, Motta's just turned Calafiori into this ball-playing centre-half. Like, a part of me reckons that he left Roma at probably the wrong time, and I feel that it's going to backfire for Roma, because they're going to lose out on a player that's going to become a stud and that's going to be wanted by a lot of teams in the summer. But no, talking about yesterday, like, today's Tuesday, so we are recording a day after. Overall, hindsight being 2020, I don't see it being the worst point in the world. I don't think it was 2 points drop. I think the first 15 minutes of the game, the intensity and the levels were there. And then they just let Lecce in. Lecce played this high, intense, pressing 4-4-2 when they had both Krstović and Pickley up top. Like under De Versa, they would just play with one up top. And now with Luca Gotti, I would think he's going to play 4-4-2, which they did yesterday with was Dorgu playing left back and then playing left midfield, and then Gatto was also playing left back and left midfield at times. So they were switching and it was interchange. Ankvist was like a terror in the midfield. Lukaku did not get a kick from Bogranić, and Barishalato is built like a UFC and a WWE wrestler into one. It's just an absolute man mountain of a specimen. He got nothing out of them. Krstović literally had the Roma back four in his back pocket all game. And then Roma struggled from out wide again and with the pace, because he brought on Banda with about half hour to go, and he's just like uses his pace really, really well. And I just thought Roma struggled at times. They left themselves a little bit too open. And as we both said, if Lecce could finish, and if it wasn't for Milos Svila making some saves right near the end, it could have ended up a different score. Like, last minute of the game, the shot from about 35 yards out and it hits the crossbar. Roma also hit the post and hit another post. And then Falcone pulls off those two great saves against El Shaarawy and Awar.
Yeah.
Lukaku had the two misses, one with a header and another one from close range. Like, it was full on. I think it's probably one of the best 0-0s I've seen in a long while. But Roma struggled against the high intensity of it, and they just sort of, I don't know if they wanted to, just before the derby, they didn't want to do anything and make them lose that. I don't think it was 2 points dropped. I don't think it was like bottle jobs or anything like that. Lecce could have won this hands down. And I would have been put hands up and went, yeah, Roma were poor. They couldn't do it. But for about 15 minutes, they looked really, really good. And then for about 30, 35 minutes, they just really struggled and buckled. They sort of got into it in stages when Lecce started to tire. But then Lecce found this second wind and they almost won it with a couple of chances at the end. But overall, from where Roma were in January to where they are now, I don't think it's 2 points dropped. I do think it's a point gained. Get out of Lecce, who are probably one of the better sides in that relegation zone, because I wrote something for Breaking the Lines with all the teams that are in this relegation fight. And they are 13th. They beat San Natana and they've picked up a point against Roma. This is Luca Gotti's first two games after De Versa headbutted someone in Thomas Henry after the Hellas Verona game, which they lost. They've got this like new lease of life. So it wouldn't surprise me that they are one of the better teams to be equipped out of the relegation fight. They are, I think it's 5 or 6 points above the dotted line now. So going to Lecce, just picking up a point, it's not the worst thing in the world, and I think going forward it probably will help Roma. But there were opportunities. I know the results didn't go away. I know our fan base will probably think, oh, it's just deflating now, everything's done now. It's not the worst point in the world. It's not the end of the world. If Roma win the derby, Joey, on Saturday, probably when we record, and all over social media, and like, if Bologna drop points on Sunday, I think they're playing Monza away, if I'm not mistaken. And then if they drop points, and if Juve drop points as well, the world looks a better place again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. That's where Roma got to look. There's a few things you brought up, which definitely I would touch upon. But first being, if Roma wins Saturday, well, it's a whole different outlook. And if you look at it, the overall, since De Rossi came in, the positive outlook of it, it's 7 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. If you tell me that you're going to give me that record in his first 10 games, I would have gladly accepted. I mean, Roma are only third in the table for, I'm talking return games. This is even including the Milan, which was the turn of the halfway mark. Even including that loss, Roma are third in points to only Inter Bologna. So, I mean, Bologna are just at a crazy pace, which is why Roma can't catch up. Again, the damage was done in the first half. You can't blame Roma, which I did expect better, especially coming out of the international break. But they were also playing a team, which is one of the points I wanted to bring up, which, again, another new coach, which we run into. We run into Ballardini that gave us trouble with his defensive shape. And Gotti, who I think is a good coach, gave us trouble. If Roma were facing Diversa, I think it's a whole different game. And I think Roma come out victorious. Just changing the code, changing the structure and the intensity, and the fact that he's new. And I think he's a good coach compared to Diversa, has really changed the outlook for Lecce. I think Lecce, if they continue to play this way, they will save themselves very easily for next season. I think there's no doubt about it that they will save themselves. So people have to look at that stuff as well. Like, they had a new coach, and we even have one. My worry next week is Tudor. You know, it's another new coach for Lazio. So we're running into three straight fixtures with new coaches. So we'll see how Roma handles that. I don't know if you wanted to mention too, Scott, about any players. You brought up somebody, which is kind of worrying for me, and we don't have any other options due to injuries, but I'm certainly starting to worry more and more about Lukaku.
Yeah.
I feel his involvement is not there at all. I don't know if it comes down to effort. I know he's not the one that's going to be running all over the pitch like Belotti or maybe Azmoun, but I find the involvement in the game is just, it's just not there, and it happens more and more and more as these tougher games go on. And what worries me is we don't have another option. So I don't know what your thoughts on this, but I'm pretty worried about our striker position going into these final stretches of games.
If only Sardar Azmoun didn't pick up a hamstring injury, he's not out for the next 3 weeks. He would have been useful yesterday, making these sort of off the ball runs play a different way. Because with Lukaku, you play to his strengths, which is his hold up play. And when you've got a crowd, the bodies around him. So that means bringing in the types of Baldanzi, Dybala, Cristante. I know Pellegrini wasn't playing, but you bring him in and then you try to create, and then you probably go out wide and recycle the ball and bring it in. But Azmoun, you could play the balls into the channels and feed off him running into it. And also, he's quite, for his size, he's quite mobile, and he's got, it's as cliche as it sounds, it sounds like I'm listening to a Peter Crouch podcast. He's for quite a tall mobile striker, he's got good feet for a big guy. You could take that off cliche. But no, I just think we missed Azmoun and missed a bit of dynamism up top. But yeah, I do agree with Lukaku. He seems to struggle against these sort of teams. Like, he was against two strong centre-halves in Barisciotto and Pogranic, who just didn't give him anything. Like, nothing at all. Like, Krstović, who I think is quite a handy striker in Serie A, showed him what to do for holding the ball up. So did Piccoli. Piccoli's not had the great output that he should have. He's got all the attributes to be a good striker when he gets a little bit older, but both of them overshadowed Lukaku. And I just think Lukaku, as soon as he gets one, I think he'll go firing on to the rest of the season. I don't care if it comes off his ass on Saturday and it makes us win the derby. Something needs to happen, but I just think we did miss Azmoun, and it would have been nice for him to come off the bench, but injuries happen, and it was during that godforsaken March international break.
Yeah, of course, and that's what I always look at. I know international break is, and games is very important to players and their nationalities, but as a Roma fan, I dread for them for these type of situation, because it leaves us a very, very slim at striker position. We don't even have a singular backup striker right now, and the way Lukaku's playing, it's just we seem to have a hard time getting contributions from our strikers. So hopefully maybe we'll see a return with Tammy soon. I know De Rossi gave an update. It's going to be a couple of weeks. So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully Lukaku can hold the fort. I mean, we have Lazio and Udinese, which to me are definitely winnable games. I know it's the derby, it's different, but Lazio are not the same team in this season. And I think Roma have been much better over the 10-game stretch with De Rossi. So we'll see how that comes up with the derby. Scott, so I was also looking at DeRossi's comments, and I'm really glad he brought up about the penalty and the inconsistencies. And he mentioned how, Acerbi's was called a goal, like the decision on giving a penalty to Fiorentina, which luckily Mandragora missed when Belotti's shirt was pulled. But then you don't call a penalty like this. So he says, I like it. He mentioned about liking it where you can play with a bit more physical contact. So he wouldn't call it for all. But what he doesn't like is he doesn't understand, you know, basically was saying how inconsistent it is from one call to another. I don't know what your thoughts are on the penalty, because I certainly thought it was a penalty.
As I tweeted out yesterday, with Stevie Wonder in the VAR room, how that was not given was just despicable. You can see that a mile away, even the like Wayne Boyce, who's an experienced commentator in the UK, said that, oh, that looks a penalty that should be given. And he gets wiped out. Is it Gendre? And Falcone just wipes Zaleski out in the penalty box.
Completely.
How was that not given? It's baffling. And then you see the sort of fouls that were going down. You make a scream and you get a free kick given away. But the positioning, what was going on? And you just like, you see him make this gesture. He points to his microphone and does the Undertaker slit of the throat and just say no. And I was just like, no, it's not. Come on. You just got consistent. I hate talking about referees because it's just ruining football now. You're missing that consistency, and it's just becoming a joke. Would it have changed anything? Maybe so. Who would have taken the penalty? Leandro Paredes. But it would have been nice just to see some consistency. You can't give one and then can't give the other. This is what is ruining football for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this time and time again, not just Serie A and a lot of leagues, but obviously, we're a Roma podcast, so we focus our sayings and our thoughts on Serie A. So what we see every week, it just doesn't make sense, Scott. And I'm in full agreement with De Rossi. I mean, he talked about Acerbi's goal, and then he talks about the penalty on Belotti to this not being one. So, and you mentioned about when in the middle of the pitch, when people are screaming and they get the foul. I remember it was Banda on Cristante, which I don't even think he touched him.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, exactly. There's different. There's different referees have different ways of officiating, but it's too great of a gap of how consistent it should be. It's just you're reffing one way compared to another. It's not right. It's really been inconsistent, and we're seeing it more and more. And the fact that VAR is I don't even know if it was used. I know he probably spoke in the microphone, but to not have him even go check himself, I don't know. I just think it's completely wrong. And we keep saying we hope it changes, but I don't know if anything will change. But we'll see. We'll see if there's something to be done with it. But that yesterday was definitely a penalty. And like I said, I don't think Roma should have just banked on a penalty to win the game. I don't think they played well enough to win. But things can happen to help us, and that just wasn't in our favor yesterday. Hopefully they can get these corrected, you know, as years go on and the game develops. But yeah, yesterday was definitely a stonewall penalty for me, and I just hope they discuss, you know, or suspending referees or discuss why this wasn't a penalty given to Roma.
I look forward to Liga Serie A or FIGC. It's probably Liga Serie A's apology to Roma and see what happens in the next couple of days. It's not like the PGM MOL here in the UK. I don't know if you saw Anthony Gordon's penalty against West Ham.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness me. How was that given? I felt so sorry for West Ham. That's one of the worst penalties I've seen. Never a penalty in a million years.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, that penalty is given, and then you look at Zaleski is not. And if I can think of, we probably have so many examples of penalties given or not given that should have been given. it's baffling this year. I can think of like Bologna against Juventus, where Bologna should have won. The guy got wiped out. The first time they played. And so there's so many. And if I really sat down to think of it, you look at penalty by penalty was called or non-called, you'll see how you'll be baffled. You'll not understand. And I've been watching football for as long as I can remember, and I still don't understand how they think what's a penalty and what's not a penalty. It's something that's certainly got to change.
The one I go to is Pellegrini against AC Milan in Mourinho's first season, where Kjær wipes him out. And I got abuse from AC Milan fans on social media about that. But then 10 minutes earlier, Ibrahimovic goes down in installments when Roger Ibanez wins the ball off him. And you could see the ball going in a completely different direction. But no, that was given. And it was just can't win.
No, not with these refs. You can't, Scott, unfortunately.
If I speak, I'm in trouble. I prefer not to speak. But no. Before we go on to a couple more subjects, do you have anything else to add about yesterday's draw?
I'll just end off with that, Scott, is I hope, some Romas of the past, they would tend to drop a game like this. As tough as it is, it's a game Roma's expected to win. I don't want this to continue. I want Roma to have the mentality of, first of all, maybe they were thinking of the derby already, so that could have played a factor. But I don't want Roma to fall into this, they start a game by dropping and then it just continues. It's happened to them in the past quite often. And I want them to finally find that mentality where that game doesn't bother them anymore. And they go out and they perform the next one and they continue doing what they're doing. So that's what I hope Roma can gather out of this. De Rossi is certainly pissed off. You can tell he didn't go to the microphones right away yesterday. He probably had a long chat in the locker room. He's going to be bothered by this day in, day out. We know his character, and I hope it's up to him and the players to know that they need to bounce back from this. They have no choice. They want to reach objectives. They certainly have no choice. I believe that they will, but I just hope Roma don't fall into this, flat period of where they struggle to win or they struggle to play well because of a drop game and it drops their confidence and mentality. But we'll see what happens. I just hope Roma can bounce back very quickly on Saturday.
Completely agree. Before we go on to talk about Roma's new shirt, which looks quite nice, nicely designed by, nicely worn by an ex-Roma legend, which I saw on the socials earlier. Thursday, 28th of March 2024, was the 31st anniversary of Francesco Totti making his debut for Roma, where Roma went to Brescia and won 2-0, and he came on for Rizzitelli in, I think it was the 91st or 92nd minute. And I put a tweet up from the Magicast: what's your favourite memory of Totti at Roma? Jerry, I'll go with you first, because you went on a nice tangent about one when you got to see Totti live in 2016.
Yeah, so my first ever Roma game actually was Totti's last season with Roma, which was the 2016-2017 season. I went to the famous game against Sampdoria where there was hail. It was a game where Luis Muriel actually scored and Quagliarella and Salah scored for Roma, but it was a 2-1 halftime lead for Sampdoria. And there was a lot of hail. There's a lot of rain. And the game was actually halted and it was suspended. So I waited as long as I could. I was not leaving the stadium until I heard an announcement. Because the thing is, that was the last day of my vacation and my flight left the next day. So if they rescheduled, I couldn't watch the rescheduled match. So I waited at definitely over an hour within the stadium. I did not care. Luckily, they came out second half to play. Roma down 2-1. Kind of struggling, brought on Totti completely, and Dzeko completely changed the game. Totti had this wonderful assist to Dzeko, where Dzeko kind of put the ball by the keeper. He shifted from his, I think it was his right foot to left foot, and he went around the keeper and just put it into an empty net to tie the game. And in the last minute of extra time, Dzeko had a nice cutback, got tripped in the box.
Tripped and, is a... as a light word, light way of saying it.
Oh, very. We were talking about referee squad. If anyone go watches the highlight of Roma Sampdoria 2016, yeah, that wasn't a penalty.
That was 100%. Is it the one in the Torino game about 4 months prior, which was never a penalty?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, very, very similar. So it wasn't a penalty, but they called it. Totti stepped up in the 93rd minute and won Roma the game, slotted it right side, keeper dove the other way. And that was my first, probably first and only memory of Totti, like in Rome. I mean, I do have one where he came to my city that summer before of 2016, where he actually played our MLS team here, Montreal FC or Impact back then. But that was first time I actually saw him, but it wasn't my favorite memory because, you know, they barely played. They were walking around and it was like he was playing schoolboys out there with some of the MLS quality. So, but my favorite memory and my only one really was that one in 2016. He scored the winner. I was able to see it live, and you know, it was his last season, and it was the second last goal, I believe, for Roma, because he scored another penalty. I think I want to say Torino, but it I'm was, not quite yes. sure. But he scored. It was.
Yes, he scored. That was the Torino goal. Was his last Serie A goal, and he scored against. Goal. Yeah, he scored against Cesena in the Coppa Italia in 2017. That was also a penalty. So his three goals in the 16-17 season were all penalties.
Penalties, yeah. So I saw one of them, like his second to last Serie A goal, and I just saw him took off the shirt, was waving at everyone. It was a wonderful memory. Obviously, it was my favorite game. Well, Actually, it's not even my favorite game. Wow, because of I went to see the derby with the Pellegrini back heel. That had to have been my favorite game. So, yeah, but it was definitely my favorite moment of Totti, and I'm glad I was able to see him before he retired. So, yeah, I'm very lucky to experience that.
That is an outstanding, I was going to say excellent, an outstanding one. We do have some contributions, and we've got quite a few. I will say my own at the end. So Stephen Sweeney, he goes, my first match at the Stadio Olimpico, Totti scores after 12 minutes and gets red carded in the last. Never know why. It was the AS Roma 2, Juventus 2 in the 2002-03 season. Nadette, it goes, I will always be grateful to Totti for making me a Romanista. My favourite memory of him is his last season, the way he came into the match and switched it around every time. What a man. Rosa, at the stadium, it's the Roma-Torino game 2015-16 when he finally brought on at the end of the match and scores twice to win the game. We got yours, Joey, which you've talked about so many times. Gladiator GTS, maybe not my favourite, but the game where he became the second all-time scorer lives rent-free in my head. I think that was against Cesena. No, it was against Parma.
Yes, Parma.
Parma. And he has a free kick from about 4 million yards out and hits the bar and the post at the same time. And there is Nigel Brooks just went, the man who made me love football again. Angelo Zara, can't say one, but top three in no particular order. The Derby selfie. The goal versus Parma on the final day of the 2000-2001 season. And his cap on Canieri season, 06-07. Well, he scored 26 league goals that season.
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah. Actually, Scott, there was another, not memory, but another goal I always remember of Totti. It's a memory of mine. I don't know if you ever think of this one. For some reason, I think it was his 100th goal. I always look back at this goal. I loved it so much. I know he had the chipped goal against Inter. He had that beautiful solo run, the left foot volley. I think it was Sampdoria. But one of the ones I always remember, he had this wonderful free kick, I think, for his 100th goal. He was in his full-on Totti flow with his hair in his prime. It was his 100 goal in Serie A against Inter. He had this outrageous free kick goal where he curled the top corner, kind of like what Pellegrini did against Lazio. I don't know if you remember that goal.
Oh, 4-5 season?
4-5, yes. I was really young at the time, but I remember that goal, Scott, and that goal for him, besides the one I've seen of him live, has always stuck to me, along with probably the volley and the Inter solo and the Lazio, like those three, but that one has stuck to me all the time. That wonderful free kick he scored. Oh, it was so aesthetically pleasing just from, I don't know, the flow, the putting back of the hair at the time and just curling a top corner. It's one of my favorite goals he ever scored. And that's really another memory I'll always have of that his 100th goal being a goal of like that aesthetically pleasing was amazing. And I didn't see it live, but I saw it on TV and it was just, wow, I always remember that goal.
It was 04-05. I think it was like October 2004. Roma were 3-1 down and managed to get a draw out of the game against Inter. Totti scores that wonderful free kick. And do you know who scored the equalizer?
You know what? No, I remember the goal, but I don't remember who scored the equalizer. I just remember they tied the game.
Well, he ripped his shirt in celebration. I think it was his first full season starting in the midfield alongside Simone Perotta. He's now the Roma coach.
Oh, De Rossi?
Yeah, it's De Rossi.
Is him that scored it? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. I got to go watch those highlights after we're done. I got to revisit them again now. Because you brought up a lot of nostalgic, especially with your retro pods you guys had and this now. A wonderful pods, by the way.
Oh, thank you,
Joe. Just beautiful memories, Scott.
I have three. Oh, maybe four, five. I could reel off so many. His first hat-trick away at Brescia, which was I watched the other week. I wasn't a Roma fan at the time, but it's just in awe. It was the start of the 02-03 season. The hat-trick against Bari in 2009, including that goal with the left foot, it was just peak Totti. He must have been 32, 33 at the time. There's goals that he scored. One, the anniversary was the other day. Do you remember the chip against Parma in 97-98 season? Or was it 96-97?
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yes.
The anniversary of that. There's the Manchester City chip in September 2014.
That record broken, Scott?
Yeah.
It was, right?
Now, it's Pepe, I think, who's the oldest player to score in the Champions League.
Okay. Well, at the time, it was nice. Totti scored was the oldest player to score in Champions League.
He was 38? Was he 37 or
38? Yeah, I think he was 38.
Oh, no, he might have been younger. I think he was like 36 or 37. So he was born, was he born 67? I think he was. So he would have been, was he born 69? I'll have a look. But I mentioned some like goals. He scored some great goals. Like the one against Lazio, the chip, the 6-1, in the 5-1, the Derby goals in 2015, the Torino comeback, the game that you were at. But it's just like, there's goals in like,
there's so many.
The 9-10 season that I see quite a lot, like the Bari hat-trick. I watched the goals from the 09-10 season the other day, and it's just a joy to watch. Most of them were Mirko Vucinic just blazing like he did.
We have a pot about him.
We probably
always one of my favorites, not talked about enough.
Yeah, he's for me, it's just an unsung hero. But I think one of the best goals that I saw was the Sampdoria one. It's underused and underutilized. And also the best goal, I think, in my opinion, is the Inter goal in 2005.
Yeah, it has to be, for sure. It certainly has to be the best goal that he scored. I mean, it's pretty much talked about all the time by everyone, but he's had so many wonderful goals. It's hard. It's just nice to talk about. And it's been, 31 years since he made that debut. Crazy.
Phil Holt. So he's 76. So he would have been 38.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was 38. Yeah.
He was 38 when he retired. Oh god, maths is not my strongest point. So we have 47. He was 37 when he scored against. He would just turn 37 when he scored against Manchester.
Oh, 37. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That's not enough nostalgia. Enough Totti. Should we talk about the new shirt for the derby? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't. I like sort of the idea and the style. I like the promotion video they did with Del Vecchio. Is it my favorite? I wouldn't say it's not. Some people didn't like it from what I saw on social media. Everyone has their opinions. I'm okay with it. Not the best. It's certainly not better than that. The jersey I regret buying for that derby last time with the SPQR on it. That to me was the best derby jersey I've ever seen, or just one of them in general. I regret not buying it, but this one's all right. It's pretty nice. I like the concept. I like the idea. I still like our black jersey the best for this year, but it's a nice concept derby for the jersey. I don't know what your thoughts on it. I'm very neutral about it.
I nearly went all Trent Alexander-Arnold going, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I actually quite like it. It's quite a nice concept of it. I don't like the Riyadh sponsorship. It sort of ruins it a little bit.
It does.
I just love Del Vecchio just rocking it. He hasn't aged. The man does not age. But no, I quite like it.
At all.
I looked at the Roma website, 100 euros. Is it worth dropping 100 euros on it, though?
No, not for me. I would say if you get a jersey of this year, it would be the black one. And I was lucky enough to get one without the sponsor, the third kit. I was really lucky. That, to me, is their nicest jersey. Scott, do you remember the jersey I was talking about, the derby one, the one before? I'm sure you've seen it everywhere. The one with the SPQR on it.
Is it the...
That,
the
to one, me...
Is that is the one where Street... Is that the one where Streetman dived to get a penalty?
Yes. That to me was a wonderful jersey. That was a good jersey. I regret not buying that jersey. I still regret it.
Same. I saw a lot of Roma fans wearing it on Totti's last day when I was there. We won't mention the scoreline in that day. Lazio won 3-1. And that pretty much cost Roma the league title. Do you want to do a quick preview for Saturday?
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into it? Because Lazio are playing tonight in the Coppa Italia, also against Juventus. And I watched them against Juventus. And to be honest, they were miles the better side and could have won handsomely if it wasn't for Wojciech Szczesny. And a great last-minute goal. It was fully deserved. Great cross in from Guendouzi. And it was just... I think they're a different team, but hopefully Roma can end the hoodoo of 2 years of not scoring a goal and not beating them. I think Roma should be favourites. I think it will be a better game than the previous derbies. The last league derby was probably one of the worst ones I've seen. It was a 0-0 ball fest. If I'm to be honest, I know I was quite blasé about it, but looking back, it was quite meh. It was very mid. But no, I think I'm quite looking forward to it. I think Roma needs a reaction. They're going into not a tough run of games. These sort of games come and go at the end of the season. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll see a different Roma and probably see a different Lazio. But how are you feeling about it?
I certainly am looking forward to it. I would say I'm much more confident and positive than I would be about the first derby or the derbies we've had in the previous years. I think Roma won't struggle as much to break down Lazio. They could be hard to break down, but I think Roma will actually try to break them down a lot more this time around. We play obviously a much more progressive type of football now. There are some worrying points. I think Lazio had a really good showing against Juventus, and the fact that they have Tudor, who I rate as a coach, could be something that doesn't really bode well for Roma. I mean, having a new coach, you know, the first few games we've seen under De Rossi, how teams certainly like to play. They like to be more enthusiastic, like to show the new coach what they can do. That, obviously, that new coach thing can worry me. I think it was under Sarri, I would have been confident Roma could have won the game for sure. I still am, but a little less now with it. But again, taking the game against Juventus, like you mentioned, Scott, I think everyone has looked great against Juventus, whether it was big or small team. Everybody has looked good. They've won one game in their past, I think, what is it, 10 or so? And they haven't looked as all themselves, and they make every team look like they're powerhouses compared to them. So, but with De Rossi now, and we've been, we don't seem to be prone to as many mistakes with the cards, hopefully. You know, we either suffer own goals or red cards against Lazio. I think Roma will have a good showing, but again, Scott, if they want to make Champions League, they really got to win this game. And there's not a game to be more motivated to knock your derby rivals out of the race and to keep you in the race can't be any more motivating than this. So I think Roma will, I don't know if they'll win, but I think they'll certainly step up and bring us a good showing.
Well, Lazio will be playing two games in the space of 3-4 days. And then they'll be playing 3 and 7. So they may be a bit of fatigue because they are playing Coppa Italia this midweek. There's a lot of football going on at the moment. There's even Premier League games going on as we record right now. So there may be some fatigue. Evan Ndicka is suspended after his yellow card yesterday. So it could be.
Of course, yeah.
Huijsen and Mancini. Will Mancini and Zaccagni go at it again? Will Mancini walk into their locker room naked, having a go at everyone like he did in last March, his game before the international break? Who's going to get sent off? Who's going to go absolutely ballistic? Is someone going to try and get Matteo Guendouzi sent off as he was goading Roma players after the final whistle of the Coppa Italia game? Who knows? I'm looking forward to it. There's some rivalry, and it's Saturday evening for us in the UK.
It's,
we missed
6 o'clock kickoff time, or yeah, 5 o'clock your time, right? Yeah, that's 12 o'clock for us local.
Oh, you got a nice brunch. Oh, not local, game but to watch.
Yeah, I get to watch it at lunchtime. Yeah, that's our time when the derby always happens.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think it would have been on earlier, but I think it's on at the right time. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It should be quite good. Hopefully, Roma.
Scott, one bit about it. You mentioned Huijsen. You think he'll start over Llorente?
Yeah. Llorente, I wouldn't trust him in this sort of game.
Oh, okay. That's big confidence for an 18-year-old kid in a derby.
Throw him in. If you're good, if you're young enough, you're good enough. Or is that the other way around?
Can I throw a twist to it? I know Smalling's been back to full training.
That's not a bad shout. Yeah, well, so, if he does play, that does mean a tactical switch, doesn't it?
It might be, but no. If it's to change a full tactical switch, then no, I wouldn't bring Smalling in. I thought maybe he'd bring him in the four back. Who knows? But if there's going to be a tactical switch, I wouldn't. But I'm in agreement with you, Scott. I think we should bring the guy that has much more potential. We know what Llorente can bring. But Huijsen, if he has a good game, to me, he can have a great game. So I hope I hope if he does play, he can show how good he is, especially against Lazio.
No, that makes sense. Before we wrap up, Joey, do you have anything else to add?
No, that's all. We covered pretty much everything that's happened recently with the team.
Perfect. Guys, you can follow us on magicast.com. You can find us on the website. You can find all the previous episodes on the website. And you can find La Magicast on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Podbean, etc., etc. I'm off to maybe have some more Easter eggs, depending on how I feel. Joey, thank you very much for joining me on this Tuesday evening. Any more Easter eggs to have?
Oh, no, absolutely not. After the full meal I ate over the weekend and the desserts, no, there's nothing left to indulge. I'm good. And I'm good for a while on the Easter eggs and the chocolate.
I have a Kit Kat Easter egg and a Ferrero Rocher Easter egg to have left over. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back. Bloody hell, this change of clocks is throwing me off. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I'm cooked. We'll be back after the derby. We do have a special guest lined up. And then we'll put a couple of pods going into the Milan game, Udinese. I'm away for both the Milan-Bologna game. I'm going to have to speak to someone who can take over the hosting duties of that game. But Joey, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. It was a pleasure discussing Roma, and let's have a positive outlook now for Saturday.
The derby is upon us, guys. We sit here and waiting, and Roma can hopefully end the hoodoo of 2 years without a win. We'll be back on Saturday after the Derby della Capitale. Take care. Ciao.
Ciao. We'll be right back.